Heard the story once about this husband that really, really, really did not like his wife, Kat. Okay. He did not like his wife's cat one bit. He hated the cat. And they had talks about it. They went to counseling about it. She didn't want to get rid of the cat. He wanted to get rid of it badly. So he did something that we know is not right to do. He picked up the cat, put it in his car, and he drove to the other side of town, and he let the cat out. And he drove home. Well, as he pulled into the driveway, there was the cat walking up in the driveway. He said to himself, I can't believe this. So the next day, he thought, okay. He drove 10 miles this time away, out as far as he thought it would be necessary. And he let the cat out again, and he sped home as fast as he could, avoiding the police, not getting a ticket. And as he pulled into the driveway, again, there was the cat just kind of yawning and licking itself as he pulled in, walked in the house. Well, he was just furious now, you know. So the next day, he put the cat in the car, and he went out into the country as far as he could. He drove like 20, 30 miles away. He took a left at a bridge, and he drove down some old dirt roads with no street signs, and he found the deepest, darkest part of the woods, and he let the cat out. A few hours later, the man called his wife at home and asked her, honey, is the cat there? The wife answered, yes. Why do you ask? Furious and frustrated, he said, put her on the phone. I need directions home. Cats can find their way home. Dogs can find their way home. And people usually can find their way home, but sheep can't. And that's a fact, apparently. On their own, sheep become easily lost. If they turn the head for just a moment, they end up going in the opposite direction. That's why we have the illustration of the shepherd leaving the 99 to go and get the one who was lost in Matthew chapter 18. And maybe that's why there are so many comparisons of people with sheep in the Bible. And that's because we can lose our way. And when we do, we need some kind of intervention to get us back on track. And that's either going to happen by the guidance of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ or through some kind of divine intervention. And since God has blessed us with one another in His church, He uses you and me to help those wanderers find their way back home to the Lord's church. And that's also the way that more souls are added to the Lord's church. God just doesn't zap somebody and say, you need to go become a Christian, go in now. God doesn't zap the wanderer and says, zap, you need to turn around. It happens through you and me, okay? That's God's design. Think about it. God has called us, every Christian here, to help guide others, to help lead others. Of course, we know that not everyone is as good as leading as we should be. Sometimes we need a little help ourselves. But God knows this, which is why His people are most often referred to as sheep in the Bible. And that's okay. Still, I kind of thought, hey, you know, God, you could have gave us a little break, right? Maybe compare us something better than sheep. And of all of God's animals, sheep are the least able to take care of themselves. And not only that, but has anyone ever seen a sheep maybe do tricks? You know, jump through a hoop or roll over or play dead or maybe in a circus sideshow, kind of with the billing the Great Gatsby and his amazing cud-chewing sheep? You don't see that. And when you think about sheep and their defenses, I don't know, they could probably rub up against you and give you a good shock with some static. But they don't have any claws or fangs. You know, they can't outrun you. You can outrun a sheep easy. And that's why you never see a sheep as a mascot on a sports team. And we're not talking about Rams. Those are different things, okay? But think about it. You've got things like the Los Angeles Cobras. Sharp, fast fangs. You know, you got the Anaheim Piranhas. They'll just rip you apart. And you got the UCLA Bruins. You got some Bears. On the other hand, you know, you're not going to find the Sacramento sheep. Well, some people might think that's the king's other name, but we won't go there. Even if there was a team named after sheep, what would their cheerleaders cheer? You know, is it kind of like, we are sheep, we don't make a peep. Victory is ours to keep, but if you want, you can count us to go to sleep. I don't know, you know? The point is, average everyday sheep aren't all that impressive. They're not known as fighters, and they generally don't have all that much to brag about. The world tends to overlook sheep, just like the world kind of overlooks us, Christians in the church. Because the church is supposed to be filled with good sheep, right? And those in the world often want more excitement, you know? They want more pizzazz, and they want more power. They want to get ahead in this world, and sheep, well, sheep are generally followers by nature. So why in the world would anyone want to be a sheep? Well, we actually don't get much of a choice. You know, God tells us that we're sheep, whether we want to be sheep or not. That's kind of how God created us. God created you and me to be followers, followers of someone. And if we look real close at other people's lives, those folks who aren't in the Lord's church, we'll find that it's true in everybody's case. Someone is following someone else or something else. The fact is, the choice is ours. It's always been. But again, that's because God made us that way. Still, with that in mind, we all do have choices to make of who to follow, or in some cases, what for some people. Of course, God wants us to follow His Son, the Good Shepherd. God wants us to follow leaders who imitate, who copy, who follow His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, with all this in mind, we're going to continue our Great I Am sermon series by looking at when Jesus tells us that He is the Good Shepherd. And to do that, we're going to go ahead and read again a sizable portion of text, some we read 2 weeks ago. We're going to read it all again. This is John chapter 10 and verses 1 through 21. John 10, 1 through 21. If you want to turn there, I'll get a little drink. It's just water. Maybe with a few added minerals for flavor. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, verse 6 says, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were divided again. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" All right. Well, that's a lot of text. All right. So, thinking back again to what we were talking about before, it is true that we are all created to be sheep. We're all created to be followers. It's also true, though, that the more closely we follow our leader, Jesus, by default, we take on the characteristics of Jesus. And then while we follow Jesus, we become leaders for others to follow to Jesus. You follow? And this is the principle of discipleship that the Apostle Paul talks about over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 when he writes, "To follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And he isn't just talking about virtuous living, right? He's talking about sharing his faith as well. And when you think about it, he's talking to the church at Corinth. These guys were carnal by nature, but have become Christians. And, you know, this applies to all Christians, right? We're to follow the example of those following the example of Christ so we can lead others to Christ. In turn, we all become leaders of some sort for others to follow, whether we want to be a leader or not. Someone's looking at you. Still, when we think about the idea of leading by following, that's a little bit of an oxymoron. But hey, we lead others to Christ by following Christ. Now here comes the tricky part. That wasn't tricky enough. Way back in the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. Have a Genesis class on Wednesday nights. Just started. We're going to be going a little slow for the first few chapters. A lot of stuff in there. But we're still in chapter 1, still time to get in on the ground floor, so tonight, 6 o'clock. Anyway, way back in Genesis chapter 3 in the garden, we saw how easily it was for sheeple, well, people, first two people, to be led astray by others claiming to have authority, claiming to have leadership, claiming to know better than God. You know, so they followed the serpent right on out of the garden and out of God's presence. That's following a bad leader, right? So how can we be better followers of Christ? And not only that, how can we be better leaders to lead others to Christ? And how can we know if we're being deceived by a leader influenced by Satan? Well, like we see in our text in John chapter 10, if there are good shepherds and a good shepherd, then there must also be bad shepherds, all right, bad leaders. And in the immediate context of John chapter 10, remember again, we see it took place right after the casting out of the man in John chapter 9 who was born blind, but Jesus healed, right? And so it's in that context that Jesus talks about the sheep and the good shepherd and also those who are robbers and strangers, right, and thieves. In other words, those bad leaders who just want to steal away sheep and do harm to them. So again, who are those bad leaders in context? Well, again, back in John chapter 9, when Jesus healed that blind man, he pointed out that those seeing Pharisees were actually the ones who were blind. All right? And of course, that didn't make them all that happy. They were angry at Jesus, angry at the man, all that stuff. So it is clear that the ones that Jesus are talking about are the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and all those folks. Those are the bad leaders. Those are the thieves and the robbers who come in to steal God's people. Way back in the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verses 1 through 10, there is a rather grim description of what a bad leader looks like. for God's people and how they use and abuse the people that belong to God. Now, while God chastises those leaders for being bad in Ezekiel in chapter 34, the Lord also offers a promise of hope to his sheep, to his people. And this is what Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 and 12 says. It says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness." And so right here, there is a promise, a prophetic promise fulfilled in Christ, that God will take care of his sheep by raising up the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd that is the Messiah of God, Jesus Christ. And that gets us back to John chapter 10, right? There in the first five verses that we covered 2 weeks ago, we see again that the false shepherds or strangers or thieves and robbers will try to get into the fold in some subtle or sly way. But the sheep of the Lord, those faithful followers of God, won't follow them, he says. So how can the sheep know the Good Shepherd? How can they recognize him? Well, Jesus points out that the Good Shepherd is known by three distinct qualities here. First, the Good Shepherd is the gate. Yeah, we talked some about that a couple weeks ago. From our main text back in John chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus says plainly, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep." Now again, in Middle Eastern countries, in the Middle East, a sheep pen or sheepfold was very simply a stone wall with some walls as high as 10 feet, I saw, okay? And this wall surrounded a sheep pen. You know, well, it surrounded an area making a sheep pen, right? We had a picture on the screen 2 weeks ago. And there was only one opening, and that served as the gate. And since the building of such a structure wasn't really all that easy or cheap for the average shepherd, you know, an entire village would often get together and build a sheep pen for everybody in town to use together. And so during the day, the sheep would be out grazing. But when night came, all the shepherds went out and would drive their sheep together into this pen. And then the watchman or the shepherd would stand guard as the gate. And of course, if it was a watchman, you know, he has his job to stand there. So he's got to keep watch at the entrance. But again, he's not the shepherd. He's the watchman, you know, and he's got to do his best. But still, while he's watching, if you have a greedy, hungry thief, well, they'd find a way to get over the wall somehow, right? And get some sheep out somehow. I don't know, maybe hurl over whatever sheep like, maybe some grass and get a little hook and pull. I don't know how they did it. I have no idea. They stole sheep, okay? So that watchman really had to keep watch when the shepherd wasn't there as the gate. And when it comes to you and me, if we're going to follow Jesus close enough to lead others to Christ, then we have to see it as much more than something God wants us to do, like just a watchman, if you will, or the hired hand that's described in the text. This is not just an optional thing. This is something that is a life of service that God has called us to do. And it can be an incredibly blessed experience when we do lead others to Christ and help others to come back into the fold. Of course, it can also sometimes wear us down. Those of us who've engaged in those type of activities have really been blessed when it's successful, but it also can be a little bit of a downer sometimes when things don't work out so well. Thankfully, the Good Shepherd, Jesus, doesn't wear down like the rest of us. But how is he the gate? Well, again, it's only by Jesus that anyone can enter into the sheep pen. As a matter of fact, he is the one that we're told in our text, and we see later on happening, not too long after all this, that he gives his life for all of us in order to be the gate. And after his death, burial, death and burial, God raised him to life again with all authority in heaven and earth. Meaning that as the gate, Jesus is the only gate, right? Acts 4:12. No other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And that's the only way that people can enter into God's sheepfold, into God's kingdom, and be saved. It's through Jesus. Period. So again, the good shepherd is the gate. The good shepherd also knows his sheep and is known by his sheep. Again, taking a look back at John chapter 10, we see that the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. They'd have their own little calls, you know, own unique calls for the sheep. So the sheep would listen to the voice of the shepherd. They'd hear that, and they would just know that that is the shepherd. And we're led to believe that they probably had given names to the sheep, you know, and I don't know what they would name them. We kind of talked about that about before, but still, in order for this all to happen, in order for the shepherd to have such a good relationship with the sheep so that they would hear his call and come, you know, there needs to be this established bond between them. Anyone trying to lead those who have strayed away or those to Christ know it's important to have formed bonds with one another, intentionally formed relationships. So clearly in our text, the shepherd knows his sheep personally. And again, in the context of our passage, when you think about sheep with the illustration, the shepherd would call his own sheep from the pen, from among other sheep, and his sheep again would recognize their shepherd's voice and come out of the fold. Now, if you think about what we've been talking about right now, what we said earlier about sheep not being all that bright, you might be thinking, okay, well, if sheep aren't all that smart, how did they know to come? Well, the simple answer is, again, is that deliberate bond developed between the shepherd and the sheep. And that means that there needs to be a deliberate bond actually developed between leaders and followers, between those we are trying to lead to Christ, those that we are trying to bring back to Christ. And that's because we're not talking about some boss-employee relationship where the boss says, come, and they come. Because if that employee doesn't want to, it's like, oh, let's go someplace else. You know, I'll find another job, right? And it's not a lord-to-vassal kind of leadership. In other words, we're not talking about a positional leadership where it's like, see this, I am a Christian, I am a leader, you're lost, you need to come. It doesn't work that way, okay? We're talking about a functional leadership. Here's what usually happened with the shepherd and his sheep. When the sheep were new and the flock was traveling to new pastures, the shepherd would often carry that little lamb on his shoulders. And while the shepherd went ahead and was maybe dealing with the other sheep, and that new sheep had wandered across grazing other parts of the field and kind of just drifted away, it was the shepherd who would go and watch over all the flock and go and bring that one sheep back if he strayed away, just like the one that wandered away from the 99, remember? And it was that shepherd who at night would protect the flock from hungry, ravenous animals. You know, if they were out and they couldn't get back to the pen, they were out grazing far away, they're not going to go back. Night comes, right? You've got to keep all those sheep together. He's not going to build another pen. That's pretty hard work to do really quickly, right? So he's got to build a fire, sing some songs to calm the sheep. That's what I'm told happened. And again, it was there where the shepherd had to stay awake. He had to stay alert. He had to keep watch. Because that's when the wolf or the lion or whatever was in the wild where it was there. I don't know. Those piranhas came out. They don't want piranhas. Those were the Amazon. Anyway, the predators came out to feed, right? No piranhas as far as I know in Israel, but what do I know? Anyway, I don't think that they're in the area. Okay, forget the piranhas. Anyway, the point is the shepherd would need to watch and protect his sheep, even with his own life. And it's all because of this intimate relationship where nurture and care and provision and protection that the sheep really come to recognize the shepherd as the one who is leading them. And so they knew his voice. They knew his call. They heard him sing. They heard him call out to them, and they knew that when the shepherd called out, they were safe because he watched over them. And you can think about our relationship with those that we know within the body of Christ, those that we might not have seen for over a year for various reasons, including COVID. If we want to see them again, we need to make those bonds intentional and develop those relationships. If we want to see the church grow, it doesn't happen just by God saying, guess what? Church is going to grow. It happens through everyone here. Intentionally develop relationships. Think about it. When it comes to sheep, right? Those sheep are just going to go wander away. And it's not because sheep are bad or anything. It's just the nature of sheep. So God compares people to sheep. But still, sheep are better than a lot of other animals in the Bible. I mean, pigs are considered unclean animals, right? At least a sheep is considered a clean animal, right? Lambs are used for sacrifices. So it's a good animal. While it is true that sheep are prone to wander away and often have to be searched for and brought back to the fold, like we see again, oh, there's the other parable, Luke 15, right? Parable of the lost sheep. We see that sheep are peaceful and useful to the shepherd, to the body of believers, to God's people. Because we're all people, right? We're all people. We're all useful to one another. We're all useful to our good shepherd. Again, though, the shepherd knows a lot about the people. Leaders who are trying to lead others get to really know others because we spend time with them. The shepherd's constantly with his sheep. There's only so much time we can spend, but still, it's an intentionally developed relationship. Again, all sheep are rather alike, essentially, in nature, just like we're all alike, essentially, in nature, okay? But just like sheep have their own individual characteristics. Maybe some of them are half black, half white, half spots, who knows, whatever. Maybe walk with a little bit of a gimp on one side, who knows. So people, right, all have distinctive characteristics. We're all different. You know, as much as the world wants to say, well, you can choose who you are in certain respects, no, you are who you are, okay? And that's also what the world likes to teach. And that's important. We're all individuals. But we can all become God's people and still remain individuals, you see. But the way we get to know those individuals again is having those intentionally developed relationships. Think about Jesus and his disciples, the 12, right? Have you ever noticed how different the 12 apostles were from one another? You know, you talk about being kind of stressed as a leader, someone trying to bring someone to. Here's Jesus working with 12 men, two of them, James and John, get the nickname Sons of Thunder, you know? And then you've got Peter, impulsive and outspoken. He's got a lot of potential, but he makes a lot of, you know, clumsy steps. You've got Thomas, starts out hesitant and doubting, but is quick to jump the gun too and say, hey, we'll go die with you too, you know? And then there's Andrew, who's kind of a people person. He brings people to Jesus. You got Judas, the zealot, I believe. Yeah, one of them's a zealot. I lost track of all the 12, right? So he's got his own ideas. You've got Judas Iscariot, who's more of someone who likes to use people, a little bit of a manipulator. So Jesus has got to work with all this. It's a challenge, you know? Still, Jesus got to know all these men personally and intentionally. He just didn't call them and say, come hang out with me once a week. No, he spent time with them all the time. Jesus got to know each one so he can lead each one. And not everything works out like we hope for, right? I mean, prophetically, we knew, Jesus knew, that someone had to betray him. That happens in our own lives too when we try to lead others sometimes. Things don't always work out as we hope for, as we pray for. But Jesus knows our nature. He knows our needs. back in the Psalms, right? In Psalm 23 that Jesse read for us this morning. Again, rather well. He's gotten a lot better. He's turned into quite the scripture reader. Hopefully when things really get a lot better and they're willing to come back into the assembly, we can have maybe young men speaking again. And, well, he's about the only young man here that's little. We could see what, you know, we can kind of like nudge him a bit more to do, right? See what we can do with him. But see, if we get to know him better, get to know them better, things can really, you know, grow there. But the good shepherd, again, we see in Psalm 23, well, we know that that good shepherd cares for the sheep, right? We have this wonderful relationship. The good shepherd leads the sheep by the waters and into good pasture and even through the valleys. And we're told that the sheep don't have anything to fear because the shepherd is caring for them and meeting their needs. All right. Fighting off those lions and whatnot with the rod and the staff, you know. So the good shepherd knows his sheep and his sheep know him. And they get to know him more and more by listening to his voice. For you and me, listening to the shepherd means we listen to the word of God. And you could actually do that now with an app. But if you don't have an app, then it comes by reading the word of God, right? And we still hear his voice when we read it, right? So we try to do our best to follow Jesus' leadership and help lead others to the good shepherd. Again, it's important to know one another and to trust one another, like the good shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep trust the shepherd. Again, the good shepherd knows his sheep and is known by his sheep. Our last point this morning is that the good shepherd leads his sheep. He leads his sheep. And again, this is something that we just touched on a moment ago, but the shepherd, in leading his sheep, shows care for his sheep, right? He leads them to green pastures and still waters, and he defends them from protects them from the lions and the predators and whatnot. Back in our text, we see this referenced a couple of times in John chapter 10. We see that Jesus' goal for his sheep is not only peace and contentment, but salvation, all right? So there's more inherently here than just grass and water, just green pastures and a good drink. The shepherd is leading the sheep to good pastures. Why good pasture instead of bad pasture? Well, good pasture is going to give them the nourishment that they need, the nutrition that they need to be healthy. And for you and me, that means we need to lead to healthy spiritual food, leading them to good water, the spiritual water that dwells within us, right? The living water that is the Spirit of God that we receive when we're baptized, that is inspiring, that has inspired the Word of God. That's essential to our spiritual lives. You know, the Word of God, the bread of life, the water of life that we see in our Bibles, you know, that means that any good leader who's trying to lead someone needs to make sure that the teachings of the souls that we're trying to help lead are beneficial for their overall spiritual health. You know? And of course, while it's the intent of those of us helping to lead others to lead them into all that's good and beneficial, we know that there are some sheep that are just downright unruly. You know, some of them can even be rather mean. You know, and that's because sometimes you get a few rams or goats mixed in with the sheep, who themselves, the sheep, are quite passive and more easily shoved aside by those rams and those goats. And those rams and those goats are headbutting and kicking and making all kinds of noise. Goats out there screaming, ah, or whatever they do. You know, you've seen those videos. Goat screams are scary, all right, and funny. But sadly, when they do that, They disrupt everybody else in the herd. The sheep get knocked aside. They get kicked maybe or butted, knocked down in the process. Maybe lose hearing from that screaming. I don't know. But it's something that we need to be careful of as we try to help lead others. Again, back in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verses 17 through 19, we read that God has something to say about those unruly sheep. He says, "As for you, my flock," referring to his, talking to his flock, of course, "this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another. between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not good enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Sheep will do that too. They'll just keep grazing until there's nothing left. The shepherd needs to know when to move them on so they don't eat things they're not supposed to, not drink things they're not supposed to. And that's one of the reasons why, again, the sheep need someone to help lead them. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not, you know, we need to help lead one another, you see, without elders here. This is what we all need to do. Even with elders, this is something that we all need to do, okay? We need to help protect one another, to help lead one another and guide one another from those who will try to harm the other members of our congregation with false teaching. I got this neat little seminar about end times. It says to go to this one place and they'll teach me that Napoleon was the Antichrist. Tell them, no, that's false teaching. Throw it away, okay? That's not good. Sheep need to be looked after. We need to help look after one another, okay? There are even times when the sheep get so involved in grazing and what they're doing, they kind of get separated from the flock and get lost. They get off studying something so much, they follow the deep hole of the internet into some unknown territory. You know, the Bible, I've never read this before, but this says this. It's like, well, no, it doesn't. That's why you never read it before, okay? Someone came up with that because they just think it's cool or something. Be careful, okay? The point is, just like sheep need a shepherd, you know, everyone needs someone to follow. And whether they know it or not, they're following someone or something, some teaching, okay? And whether we know it or not, again, we're leading somebody. And that means that it's ever so important for you and me to be someone that others can follow and to help guide and teach them to be more like Christ. Again, the good shepherd is the gate. The good shepherd knows his sheep and is known by his sheep. And the good shepherd leads his sheep, cares for his sheep. Okay? And Jesus, being the leader that we should all follow, helps us to be the kinds of leaders that others can follow. And in turn, we can help to lead others to Christ. So this morning, if there's anyone here looking to follow the leader, if you're looking to follow Jesus, then it's my hope that you've been encouraged to do that today, to be a better follower of Jesus so that we can all be better leaders in leading others to him. Maybe there's someone here who is yet to begin following Jesus. Know this, it all starts with our confession of faith that Jesus is Lord and Savior, right? And upon our confession and repentance, to be immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of our sins. And then coming up out of the water, we're born again. We're now a part of the sheepfold. We continue to live our life for the Lord as his sheep, as his people, you know, until he comes back again or he comes, you know, or we go to be with him. Along the way, of course, we do our best to follow the good shepherd. And in following him, we discover we become more like him and help lead others to him. Again, if anyone has the need to come forward this morning, whether it's to share or to seek prayer or even to become a Christian for the first time, I want to encourage you to do that as we stand and sing the song that was selected.